This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young.
And this is the podcast that answers the question, why am I doing this?
Today, we're going to talk about a deep place called the writing wilderness and what to do when you're lost there. Karen is a great person to talk about this because she has quite a bit of actual real-world wilderness experience because she worked with Search and Rescue. Tell us what that was like, Karen.
We'll talk a little bit later about preparing, but one of the things that happened for me in being involved with Search and Rescue is that I learned the skills to survive being there. I learned that even though you feel like you're by yourself, because when you're in a search, people are far enough away that you can't see them, you blow a whistle. Everybody has their Search and Rescue whistle, and you blow the whistle and you get responses, and you know that you're not alone, but you feel alone. You feel like there's no one else around. There's no path, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the wilderness until you're there. You may think you understand it, but you don't until you're actually there.
And maybe some of you guys feel like that. You're out in a mountain somewhere, you're blowing your whistle, only nobody is answering. But we want you to know that we are with you. We want to encourage you and help you thrive until your time in the wilderness is done.
And if you happen to be one of those fortunate few who've never been in the wilderness, let me tell you, if you're in publishing, you will be there one day. That writing wilderness is waiting for you. And here's the thing. We want to equip you. We want to give you the training to fall back on. Lots of people here in Oregon come to climb the mountains and go into the forest, and they just do it thinking that, you know, there's going to be a market on the corner up in the middle of the forest. They think they can go out there. They think they can face it and nothing will happen to them. And you have to know that there are people every year who walk off into that wilderness ill-prepared, not knowing what they're facing, and they're never seen again. Every single year, we lose people in the mountains, in the forests, on the ocean, because they don't know what they're going to be facing, and they just go in there without being prepared. We don't want that to happen to you.
So when you find yourself in the wilderness, we want you to recognize it and be ready. That's half the battle. If you know it's coming, you don't get freaked out.
Right.
My husband teaches sociology at a college, and he's always getting these cute little students that come in, we want to get married. And they ask if he has any advice, you know, and he gives them one piece of advice every time. He says, there's going to come a day, a night, some time when you are going to look at your spouse and think, oh my gosh, I have just made the biggest mistake of my entire life. He says, I promise that's going to happen. And when it happens, I want you to know that it's okay. Everybody has that feeling at some point or another, and you will get through it. It wasn't a mistake. You're gonna be just fine. As long as you know it's coming, you'll be okay.
Right. Or maybe you're like a lot of us and you're in the wilderness right now. Maybe you've written exactly what you feel God asked you to write, and it's been rejected by every single editor and agent. And you could be wondering if it's time to give it up. Maybe you heard God wrong. Or maybe you're supposed to write something else, but you have no idea what. You're sitting here and you're thinking, what in the world am I supposed to do? Or it could be that you've had 10 books published and yet you can't break into the sales numbers that will take you to that next level, or that will let you quit your day job, or that will get you another contract from traditional publishers, or whatever it is that you're looking at and you're feeling like everything that you've done has been a waste of time.
Or maybe you know exactly what you're supposed to write, but your circumstances make it impossible right now with all that's going on in your family, your job, everything. You want to write and you can't, and you don't know what to do with yourself while you're in that waiting time.
Regardless of whether any of these categories fit you, whatever your experience is of the wilderness, we want to give you some ideas of the things that you can do to prepare, to recognize the wilderness, and to deal well with it when you're there.
So let's talk about some characteristics of the wilderness.
One of the things that I learned in Search and Rescue is that when people get lost in the wilderness, they don't know how to read what's around them. They don't know how to make sense of what's around them. And so it seems as though they're going into pointless wandering. For those who are trained to find them when they're lost, we understand that there are patterns to the way that people wander, that it's actually not pointless. There are patterns to how adults are wandering in wilderness, and so it makes it easier to find them. The greatest struggle for those in Search and Rescue, though, is when children or those who are mentally impaired or lost, because there is no pattern. And it really does become a wandering based on fear and a wandering based on no sense of being able to analyze where they're at. Those are the most difficult people to find. But the beauty of our training is that we learn through tracking. We learn through being able to read signs of where people have walked by, how to find them, how to track them down, and how to bring them home.
There's another characteristic of the wilderness. There's no road.
Right.
You can't plan like you can a road trip. Hey, I'm going to go 20 miles and then I'm going to go 800 miles and then we're going to stop at that hotel. You know, there's no map. There's no knowing where you are or where you're going, and you lose sense of time. It can be a very long time. It can feel like a waste of time. These are all characteristics of how the wilderness feels.
But what's really happening in the wilderness is this. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands.
What I love about that is that's telling us he leads us all the way. He leads us all the way. He doesn't just set us on a path and walk away, leaving us to our own desires or devices. Nothing. He's leading us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
Whatever your experience in the wilderness is, it's so easy to feel as though you're alone. It's easy to feel as though you've been abandoned, and it's discouraging to fall into that place and to feel as though everything that you've done is wasted or nobody understands or nobody wants what you want to write. But you know what? Feelings are not a good way to judge reality. Feelings are not a good way to tell you what the wilderness all is all about. Because sometimes you may feel like you're in the wilderness, you're in the desert, you're in these places and you're not going anywhere. And the reason for that may be that you're not supposed to go anywhere. Maybe God has led you right to this place, whatever your wilderness is. He's led you here because he has something for you to learn.
You know, the Israelites had the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and it led them by day, by night. And sometimes it stayed for a long, long time in one place. And it never, I'm sure, felt to the Israelites like there was any rhyme or reason for when they picked up and when they left and when they stayed for who knows how long. But God had a reason. And part of that reason is found in that same verse, to humble you and to test you. Let's face it, the wilderness is humbling and it's a test. You know, you're not self-sufficient. You're not in charge. You don't get to say when you're going to pack up and go to the next place. So how are we going to react when we know that we're not in charge?
Another part of the verse is that all of this happens in order to know what's in your heart. Now think about that. Do you think God needs to know what's in our hearts? Do you think he really doesn't know it already? He knows us inside and out. So it's not that he needs to know. It's that he uses these times to show us what's in our hearts. When we're in these barren places, when we're in these overwhelming places, that's when what's really in our hearts will come out and it will be revealed to us. How else are you going to know those things when you're in the midst of everything going well, when you have all of the conveniences around you? Or is it in those testing times, those teaching times, where we learn what we're really made of?
You know, as writers, we love to make our characters go through torment after torment.
Make it worse.
And then make it worse again.
That's right.
So we love to do that, but we sure don't like to do that ourselves.
Right.
But you know, that's how our characters learn. And isn't that how we learn too? How can we tell the world anything about anything if we don't know it ourselves, if we don't dig into those universal truths and take the time to find them? We want to go out there and do and not sit in the desert. But, you know, sometimes that's exactly where we have to be to learn. And even if we're not meant to go out and change the world with that particular story, is it okay if our writing is about changing us? Can we give that over to God and be okay with that?
It's not just learning what's in our heart. It's not just being humbled and tested, but it's also determining whether or not we will keep his commands. Will you keep his commands when you don't know where the path is leading? Will you keep his commands when you feel as though you're in a barren place and nobody is there with you? This isn't about getting published. This isn't about having another contract, my friends. This is about obedience.
You know, what's coming after the desert for the Israelites is that they're about to march into the promised land, and
right.
It's going to be a battle, and it's not going to be an easy battle. Are they going to succeed if they haven't learned obedience? I think about us as writers, it is a battle out there. It's a battle every day. Sometimes it's a battle to just put your rear end in the chair. Sometimes it's a battle to pull out the deep truths inside of you. Sometimes it's a battle to just turn off the laundry and everything else that's clamoring for your time. There's a lot of battles out there. Sometimes it's a battle to deal with a review or a critique that's hard or harsh. We need to learn to follow God into battle. And if we can't follow him in the wilderness, how can we follow him on the battlefield?
So here are some truths about the wilderness. You may feel as though when you're there that your time has been wasted or your time there is wasted. My friends, there's nothing wasted in God's economy. The wilderness, as that scripture tells us, is a necessary testing and teaching time. The wilderness is where God has brought you to let your roots go deeper into him, to let your writing come to a deeper place as you learn more about what's in your heart and who he is. You know, in search and rescue, we do everything we can to prepare. We learn about searches. We learn about the different kinds of searches. We learn about orienteering and how to read the terrain and how to utilize compasses in order to find our way. We learn about the patterns in people when they search. But all of that preparation doesn't really prepare you for what it's like when you're there. You can't understand what it is to be in the wilderness until it really happens. But here's the beauty. When you spend time in preparation, when you train and train and train, when you're there, and when you're faced with the reality of the wilderness and fear starts to take place, or for us in our writing, despair or discouragement or struggles, our training will come to our aid. We can fall back on our training. We can fall back on truths. And those things will come to the forefront and help us to make our way true. For me in search and rescue, the training kicked in when I was afraid, when I was actually in the midst of the wilderness, and it led me forward with confidence.
So let's talk about some practical things that we can do in the wilderness or in preparation. And the first and most important thing is to pray. I love C.S. Lewis's quote, "Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me." Prayer isn't anything set. You don't have to have a rule. You don't have to have a way that's right and a way that's wrong. Prayer is a lot of different things. Sometimes it's waiting before God. Sometimes it's crying. Sometimes it's listening or talking or speaking scripture. Sometimes it's just being. Sometimes you only have one word and that's all that can come out. All of those things are okay. You don't have to have a formula to pray. You just need to have time to be with God and do it.
One of the things I think we need to be careful about as believers is not to look on prayer as, well, at least I can pray, or is there anything I can do for you besides prayer? Friends, prayer is the most powerful tool we have in our arsenal for dealing with the wilderness, for dealing with anything in our lives. There's no substitute for connecting with God, for going to his throne and beseeching him. We can also meditate on his word. We have some scripture on our website in the show notes that will help you, scripture that you can immerse yourself in. Memorize them. I encourage you to memorize even just a few words of them so that they will come to you when you need them.
Another practical thing you can do in the wilderness is you can learn.
Yes.
Pay attention to what God wants to teach you here, because there are things here for you that you can't learn anywhere else. Be receptive, be open, and watch for them.
You also need to learn how to trust God's process. We're so good at planning things out. We're so good at saying step A will be followed by step B and then step C. But you know what? This is about God's process, not about our process.
Deuteronomy 8:16 says, "In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in
right.
the end." It's always about our good and God's glory, period.
There was a time in my life when I felt as though I was in the darkest wilderness I've ever been in, and that was in my marriage to my husband, Don. We entered into our relationship based on emotion, on the fact that we loved each other. He came from Nightmare on Elm Street and his background in his childhood. I came from Leave It to Beaver. I was so convinced that all I had to do was love him enough and everything would be okay. Well, you know what? Everything wasn't okay. And we ended up in this really dark place, both of us feeling alone and abandoned. But the beauty was that God used these dark places to teach both of us, like we said, to show us what was in our hearts. And I thought for a long time that our problems were because of Don and his childhood. I was so astonished and humbled to learn that I was contributing to the problems as well, the things I needed to learn, how I needed to change. And in those lessons, he made us into clearer reflections of him. He tested my trust in him. And then when the time came where he spoke to me about writing a novel based on what we'd learned, that marriage is more about making you holy than making you happy. He enabled me to write that book from my perspective and from Don's perspective, and to be authentic about the struggles and authentic about the answers. The Breaking Point is still my best-selling book, and I still receive readers' letters about it all the time. There was one letter in particular about a woman in Alaska. She had been waiting for the perfect guy for years. She had dated and dated and always felt betrayed, always felt rejected, or realized that the man that she was dating wasn't the best for her, and so she'd walk away from the relationship. And she had reached a point where she was done with waiting for the best. A man had proposed to her, a man she did not love, but she figured no one would ever propose to her again, and she was going to marry him, doggone it, because she wanted to be married.
Oh, no.
And then she read The Breaking Point, and the amazing thing was that God spoke to her through what we went through in our own wilderness. And that book actually is about a couple getting lost in the mountain wilderness in the winter.
How perfect.
Near Crater Lake, Oregon. It was this great symbolism of being in this lost place and having to rely on God and rely on each other. And what this woman learned was that she was supposed to wait on God, not on a man. And she made the decision that she would wait on God no matter how long it took, because she knew that he understood her needs, and it had freed her from this sense that she had to do something under her own power. That was an amazing letter to receive, and it was an amazing confirmation that nothing is wasted when you're in the wilderness.
Praise God. So when you do find yourself in the wilderness, pray.
Yes.
Learn. Trust God's process. That's how you get through it.
Amen.
This has been Right from the Deep.
With Karen Ball.
And Aaron Taylor Young. Embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.